Hello, everyone, and welcome to Mental Health Much, the podcast that talks about everything queer and mental health. Today is the finale of season 4 that I've recorded with Dale and Mackenzie that you are seeing live, not live, that you are seeing on YouTube for the first time. This episode we are recording in front of a camera. Hi, Dale.
Hi, Vincent.
How are you doing?
I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah, I'm excited to have you in my living room. Hi, Mackenzie.
Hi, Vincent.
It's so nice. You two had never met in person.
First time meeting. Yeah. We're actual real people.
Yes, we have legs. There's something above the desk.
So like I did last season, I recorded one episode in person with Jordan. I decided to do the same. And so if you're listening to this through your podcast app and you want to see what we look like, or you just want to follow us on YouTube, there will be a link in the description of the podcast. And if you're watching this on YouTube, well, hello. And you can go and listen to the whole season of season 4 of Mental Health Much, when we talked about loneliness.
About everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's already the final episode. It feels like it went so fast. And I feel like we've said that throughout the whole season. But as we're recording this, it's the holidays. And actually, episode 3 of this season is coming out tonight. So there's quite a lot of time in between recording this and us putting it online. But it's the same content, so let's do it.
Yeah.
Let's get it.
So for today, we are going to discuss solutions to loneliness. So throughout the whole podcast, we did mention quite a few solutions throughout, and we discussed a lot of things. But throughout the whole podcast, we talked about like my top 10 reasons why I thought gay, bi, and queer men were lonely. And then I sort of like matched that with 10 solutions. If you have been reading along, unfortunately, this section is not written yet. I've told the two of you, but I've not said it on the podcast yet. Because once I said it in the podcast, I actually cut it because it was too long. But I have not finished writing this part because my other book is getting published. Yay! Nice. And so I've been really working on my other book right now, plus my full-time job, and I did not have time to do everything. And self-care is important. It's important for me as well. So unfortunately, if you want solutions, it's here now. You have to listen to us, for better or for worse.
The only way to not be lonely.
Right?
Yeah. You've got 3 friends here for you always on YouTube.
Right. Once you're done, if you miss us, you can just go back to season 4, episode 1 and listen to it all again. There's an intro as well.
Exactly.
Before we start, how are you feeling about the end of this season? It's going to be so sad not to see the two of you every week.
I mean, we can still see each other every week.
No, I've never.
This isn't a goodbye. I hope not. I mean, on my end, I was a little intimidated. I was like, okay, I'm not in the mental health space at all. I was like, I don't know how much I could contribute, but you instilled in me a lot of confidence that there was a lot I could share. So I was thankful that you gave me this opportunity. I loved it and got to meet Mackenzie. It's been great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was lovely. I too was like kind of nervous when you first asked me, because I was like, well, for one, I was like, why does Vincent want me for a whole season on loneliness? Like, what vibes do I give off?
I didn't even think of that. You explained yourself.
But the first thing that I thought of, I was like, oh my God. But yeah, I enjoyed the last time that I was on. I enjoyed talking to you about, you know, mental health stuff. And yeah, I knew it was going to be a journey to do a whole season, but I'm really glad we did it. I'm glad we like powered through the episodes, and kind of sad it's at an end.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Hopefully it won't show in the editing, but we also had to power through Dale's problem with technology.
It was, honestly, the internet was fine the entire day. And then when it came to recording, that's when it decided to give up.
So anyway.
Yeah.
We believe you. So let's jump in and discuss those 10 solutions. I'm realizing, because I wrote only the first two, but even as we took one full episode to discuss the top 10 reasons why people are lonely, and I'm hoping that we can stuff like 10 solutions in one episode, it is kind of a lot quicker to discuss those things, right? I mean, it feels like this. I remember when we give the talk that started this whole thing, I talk for like 2 hours about the top 10 reasons. And then at the end, we sort of like scram the solutions in a very short period of time, which I hope your guests were not too disappointed.
No, they did love it. And there was a lot of questions as well throughout. And that kind of really showed that there's a need for this topic and we don't talk about it enough.
Mm-hmm. And so the first solution that I have on my list, it's so obvious if you've been listening to this season. The first episode is like, pick the right activity for the right type of loneliness. And even as I was writing the draft, I was like, I don't know what else to say. Because it feels like just the title. If you've partaken in a conversation or read the book, is pretty self-explanatory, but what do you two think when you hear these words?
So the first thing that comes to mind for me when I hear those words, I think, is like the importance of like checking in with yourself and being mindful of the different types of loneliness that we experience, and yeah, basing your solutions on that. Because I think for a lot of people, at least for myself, sometimes I feel like I might feel lonely, but then like I'll end up doing something to counter that that doesn't really satisfy the feelings of loneliness that I'm experiencing. And I think, yeah, it's probably just a matter of being more mindful of like what I'm feeling and how to counter it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, for me, You're going to want to put a counter at the bottom, because I'm going to say gas tanks like a lot. And I've probably said it in multiple episodes. But I mean, I've been using that analogy since you did that talk, and it's important. So like, just to go off what Mackenzie said. So step one, what is that gas tank that is currently low, that, you know, is affecting kind of my loneliness at the moment? And then part two of that, and if you haven't read the book, go look at the chapter. There's a beautiful X and Y axis, which Mackenzie explained very well in that episode. And then you kind of need to, like, based off what's low, you can maybe use that. Because if you're like a visual learner like myself, then I think it helps to visualize it. And I think it just gets, you know, practice. And then after a while, it becomes easy. And maybe if you find a solution that works, continue using that solution until you get what you need for that gas tank, and then, you know.
Yeah, for me, like, the right activity on that graph is also, like, could be aligned with your social skills or even the amount of social energy that you have one day. Like, some days I don't feel like being alone, but I have no energy or no social energy. So I'm like, oh, we could watch Drag Race together or we can go for a movie. And that way, I'm entertained, and I have something easy to talk about, and I don't have to expend, like, a ton of social energy.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else? Anything else that you want to say about number one?
I mean, I do want to make a comment. You said in the beginning that, you know, it was so obvious, but it's obvious, but sometimes the most obvious thing, like, we still just don't talk about it. And I guess when you see it in writing, then you consciously think about it. So sure, it might seem obvious, but it's important. Like,
yeah. Even just like, oh yeah, there are activities that are one-on-one and activities that are like for more people, and there are activities that are like unstructured and activities that are structured.
Yeah.
It's so, yeah, obvious when you talk about it. But like, if you don't spend a little bit of time to reflect, you just sort of like run around blindfolded and hope for the best.
Yeah, so, exactly.
Yeah. So that was really helpful to have that graph.
Yeah.
Number two is a little bit different. Number two is to focus on the things you love and then to try and make them social. So I for sure did that with a podcast when I wanted to create some sort of social media thing. I hesitated between doing a YouTube channel with like YouTube essays because I really like this and I do a few, but anyway, it's a lot of work. And doing a podcast, and one of the things that the podcast offered was that I would be able to elevate some of the voices that are not as heard as often in our communities, but also that I would be able to reach out to friends and colleagues that I had not talked for a long time. So it was like a really good way to make it social.
Again, it seems so obvious, but it's something that once you read it and once you talk about it, I think it becomes just so much, like, it becomes more of a focus for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Choosing the right activity. Like, again, why would you force yourself to do something you don't want to do?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to probably not like the people you encounter.
Mm-hmm. Although sometimes, like, forcing yourself to get out of your comfort zone could be useful. But it's kind of tough, maybe, to find that balance there.
True. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's important to put yourself outside of your comfort zone once in a while. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it is about balance. I think for me, like, it's easy to, like, to dismiss, like, finding ways to be social with and incorporating things you love about it. But it cannot, like, it can be challenging to find, right?
Mm-hmm.
For me, I think, like, just even, like, having sex is, like...
something you love?
But, like, something I love, but, like, also, as we've talked about, like, can also be a way that we try to counteract loneliness, mm-hmm. but isn't necessarily doing the thing. But, like, I have been able to find ways, and fortunately enough, that, like, you can incorporate having sex while being social.
Yeah.
As you know.
Because it can be a group activity.
But not only that, it can be, like, if you meet people with those same interests, then you can, like, actually, like, form social events mm-hmm. that, like, incorporate sex or sexual play as a part of it.
Yeah. So you know that I've attached each tip and solution to finishing the story for one of the characters, and the character whose story gets finished in this tip is Nick, who loves literature. And it was interesting because he loves something that's quite... something you do quite by yourself. Even in the best book club in the world, you wouldn't necessarily meet more than once a month for a book club. And so it can be a little bit challenging sometimes focusing on things you love and also making them social. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people find that, like, oh, I like going to the gym, but going to the gym is hard to find a gym buddy that's reliable, that we have the same schedule and all of that. So
yeah.
There are quite a few challenges in this.
Yeah. I wanted to ask who was associated with the first?
The first, I put Colin, our favorite Colin. Who maybe has a crush on someone by the end of the book.
Someone in the group?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Oh, okay. That would be inappropriate.
Someone who they volunteer with. Okay, that's cute.
Colin forced himself to go out more and saw that at the coffee shop in the village, some of the people that he used to go out in bars with when he was younger, they still meet for a regular coffee shop. And so now he goes there and there's one that maybe...
Oh my God.
He has a crush on.
That's lovely. Yeah. Good for Colin.
Okay, it's a good start so far. Yeah. Too happy. I mean, well, Nick is reading. So.
Yeah.
Reading with people.
I have notes for Nick. I don't have notes for all of them, so I don't want to, like, create two. What happens to Nick?
Why don't we, like, create a story for them?
Yeah. He started cycling more, doing cycling, which even though it's a, like, mostly alone activity, he really enjoys it, and it, like, helps with his boredom. He has started, oh my god, I can't believe I wrote that. He has started listening to podcasts instead of listening to TV. And so he can be, like, more active in his apartment, and it's not, like, always, like, sitting and so, like, passive. And is still not dating because he found that it's easier to deal with loneliness than to try to date right now for him. But he has started going more regularly to that trivia night that he likes nice. With his sister. And he has not found a way to really do a book club. So, yeah. Okay. Go, Nick. So number three, the character attached to it is Ari. And the tip is to create your own opportunities and to not wait for people to invite you, but also to suggest specific plans. So we talked a little bit about this. It's mostly kind of in the writing. We haven't talked a ton about this, the three of us together. But yeah, making specific plans is a lot easier to invite people to, like, oh, I want to do a board game night. I'm thinking Saturday, who's free? Instead of, like, should we do a board game night? When are people free? Or, like, we should hang out someday. So, like, this is the activity. This is the time frame. Like, can you come? Can you not come? And create those opportunities, which I did try to do with you yesterday.
That's true.
And then my technology failed miserably because the group that I tried to create did not work. And I only messaged you. And
oh, my God.
Yeah. So no board games for me.
Yeah.
Anyway, what do you think about creating your own opportunities instead of waiting to be invited, which can be a bit nerve-wracking, you know, because rejection.
Mm-hmm. I love it because I think it's like adding structure to the, like, the idea of having activities, like not the activity itself, but like you're creating structure to be successful in having those activities, mm-hmm. even if sometimes they don't always pan out. I think, like, you know, like I think I've discussed on the podcast before, like, I'm very much a plans person. Like, I love making plans with people, as opposed to, like, you know, impromptu things. Like, I'm not so much into spontaneity.
Yes. Your viral soundbite. I listen to it multiple times.
I need plans. but yeah, and like, I think that makes it easier for people to also like accept or decline, mm-hmm. right? As opposed to, it might be like adding pressure to them if you're trying to plan something and you're like going back and forth. Especially like when it becomes a large group of people, then like it becomes almost impossible, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah, having like a set thing, like, all right, Sundays we're doing board games, like whoever can come,
mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, I think that's great. And it's creating opportunities for yourself and your friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One challenge that I found, like, this is my personal life, but, during the week, my boyfriend and I, we work a lot, and we work evenings a lot as well. So, like, a lot of that is booked. And on the weekend, we want to spend time together, and a lot of those time is one-on-one. And, like, I feel like I'm really, like, failing my friendships right now. Looking, well, right now, like, this weekend is New Year's Eve, so I was like, I don't really know. Like, I really want to play board games with my friends, but also, I bought some new ones for Christmas. but I like, I'm like looking at my calendar. I'm like, oh my God, when will I have time for board games? And, yeah, it's really tough. I think finding work-life balance, it's not on the paper, but it can be like really challenging.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm a big believer in kind of like making stuff happen for yourself as much as you can. And this nicely kind of rolls into the two previous points that you made. Like, you know, you have to choose the right activities to solve your loneliness, and you have control of that. You can also make a hobby or something that you like into an activity that you can make social. So it's kind of loops in nicely. And, you know, at the end of the day, if like you have to try, and if maybe it doesn't work out, that's okay. You try something else, but you know, it's the first step. If you never try anything, it's going to be the same outcome every time.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of group chats because I feel like if I invite the two of you to do something, or like maybe with a few other people, and we had fun, then people can use this group chat in a little bit to be like, let's do it again, instead of having to contact everyone individually. And that way, like, not that it would create a fellowship necessarily, but it's like the first step into creating some sort of group to like then hang out more and hang out more easily.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially around that specific interest.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's a really good point.
Yeah.
And the only thing that I wrote for Ari is that he had really started taking initiative, even though a lot of people are saying no all the time. He doesn't mind as much because it helped him learn who in his friends are reliable and who isn't. So like how much of his personal time he wants to give to people and whatnot. So I'll have to find some more stuff to...
That's really important.
Yeah.
That is a good point. I mean, you can only try so much.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, try, but if the other person is not putting in any effort, then, you know, to try elsewhere.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Because, yeah.
Knowing who's going to say yes and who's going to say no is so important. We talked about the unicorn and the horse. But I think that's true for friendship as well, right? Like, I really want reliable friendships. And one of the way when I was younger that I was thinking of my friendship was like, if I were to move, would these people come help me move or not? And that was like...
Uh-oh.
And that's setting the bar really high. And I was a lot younger, so like moving each other was... like a lot more of a social things when I was like 25 than now in my late 30s. Like, I think I've really got to that age where I hire movers now.
For context, Vincent just moved a couple of weeks ago. I was not present.
I was not present either.
Wow. You're already
doing... We were recording a podcast.
Yeah.
So we...
You're already doing so much for me.
We're getting paid, right?
Yeah. With friendship. Number four is going to be hard to discuss, and I haven't wrote it. And it's work on your social skills. And and obviously, the person that I've attached to this is Sanjay, who we love, but does not always have the strongest social skills. Mm-hmm. But I think it is important, and it's so hard because so many like gay, bi, and queer men are so hard with themselves already that adding the fact that they need to work on their social skills just like makes them feel like, oh, you need to be even harsher with yourself. Mm-hmm. But that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, look, well, you said a minute ago, like, if you always do the same thing all the time and it doesn't work, then you need to change something. And that has to be true with social skills as well. That's why I created that list in the book. And like, yeah, if you're not warm, if you're flaky, if you never say yes to anything, if you cancel always at the last minute, if you don't know the difference between like what's sexually appropriate and what's not, you're not going to be invited again. Yeah. Especially in a city like Toronto, there's so many people that like sometimes the tiniest mistake makes you go into that list of like, I'm sorry, I don't have time for you.
Yeah, 100%. And like, I think this is also like going back to what I said earlier, but like, putting yourself in uncomfortable situations sometimes, because yeah, a lot of people, even like talking about myself, like I used to be a very shy person, and like it was really hard, if not impossible, for me to like approach people like at parties or whatever, to like just strike up a conversation, right? I think this was like just kind of like something I've practiced over the last few years, like in my like late 20s, probably.
How did you practice it? Like, did you make a list of small talk conversation starters or?
Not even. I think for me, once I realized that, like, once I started talking to people, like, I could keep a conversation going if just by, like, asking questions and, like, mm-hmm. getting to know the person, like, getting to know their interests. Like, I found that a lot of people like talking about themselves.
Yes.
So, you know, you can easily keep a conversation going by, like, finding something that someone's into and, like, talking about that. But, yeah, even it's just getting to that point, though, that I found really challenging. But, yeah, I think, like, putting yourself out there and being uncomfortable sometimes is the way to practice, and it does get better and easier over time.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you fuck up, be gentle with yourself. Yeah. Because you will fuck up.
Yeah.
You will say inappropriate things sometimes.
Yes.
And that's okay. You know, just like acknowledge it and move mm-hmm. on. But like, yeah, just try to put yourself out there.
Yeah. That's the advice that I give a lot when people talk about social skills. Like, people are like, oh, I don't know what to say. And I'm like, just make the other person talk. People love talking about themselves. You just have to be mindful if your social skills are not super strong, or maybe for people who are on like the autism spectrum, that there's a difference between being like warmly curious and interested in someone and just being like an investigator and like putting people through asking a ton of questions. The line is quite fine between one and the other. And we talked about this in the gay world. It's even harder because if I go to a party and I talk to you and I'm interested in your life, your reaction could be, oh, this person wants to have sex with me.
Mm.
Right? And if I'm not your type, if I'm slightly socially awkward, or if you have a crush on someone else at this party, then you might tend to like dismiss me because you're not interested in having sex with me. And for me, that can be like really hard. And so these are all situations that are so tricky to navigate in the gay bi, especially in the gay world. Let's call it the gay scene. Let's call it what it is. But it's pretty tough to do all that.
Yeah. I mean, you both have said it so well, but it, essentially again, it's practice. I've always been more of an extroverted person, but then when I entered like queer spaces, I was like, so many thoughts through my mind. I'm like, oh, I don't really know a lot about gay culture in Toronto. I've just sort of taking my like tentative steps out to the queer world. And so I just spent a lot of time being more, I didn't like bring up a lot of conversations. I would like listen to them, or I would like sit back and maybe just make a comment. And then over time, as I got more comfortable over different situations, then I would be more comfortable sharing and talking out. It's like you just have to put yourself out mm-hmm. there.
Yeah. One thing that I used to do when my self-esteem was lower at a party is that I would never try to hang out with the people that I perceived as like cooler than me. And then to counter that, I would either be alone, because I really enjoy my own company, or I would start talking with the other people who were not talking with anyone. Which sometimes was great. I made some great discoveries, especially earlier in the parties. People who are maybe more shy tend to like talk less, and then you get to like talk with them. But then often I would end up spending my evening with people with really low social skills because like there's a reason why they're also not talking to anyone. Like mine was because of my low self-esteem. Theirs was for like a bunch of different reasons. And then I was like, okay, maybe I don't want to pursue the people that I find the quote unquote coolest, but I also don't have to sort of like always hang out with like the back of the pack. Yeah. It's just really feels harsh to call some people the back of the pack, but like working on my self-esteem really allowed me at a party to be like, well, I don't really want to talk with this person right now. Like, this conversation's not interesting. Maybe I can, like, go in a circle of people that, like, the conversation's going to be more dynamic. But I did really love always giving a chance to talk with people who are quieter and who are more shy. Because that's also my personality. At a party, I much rather be sort of, like, talking with a few people than to be, like, in the action and sort of, like, run around. Or, like, sometimes in the gay scene, like, we talk, like, sometimes the energy is really sexual between some of the people. There's, like, a lot of cruising, and I'm, like, not super interested in that. It looks exhausting. And I'd much rather, like, be in my corner and talk with other quieter people. So, anyway, all of these words to say, try different things, but you don't have to subject yourself to always talk with people that you don't enjoy just because you don't perceive yourself as cool enough for the others.
Yeah, I think you could also pull a power move and just talk to the cool alpha gays, you know, then all eyes are on you and everyone will want to talk to you. But also to your point, if you are hosting the party, again, going back to I think point three, if you're making the party, I think, you know, as a host, you don't have to necessarily be responsible for everyone's ensuring that everyone has a good time. But I do, if I'm a host, I do feel some responsibility to be like, hey, like, engage people. Like, why would you invite someone and have them, like, isolated right, the whole yeah. night? Yeah. Like, when we, you know, if maybe they're from the same city, rightly or wrongly, I was like Vincent's partner. I was like, oh, Ian's from Edmonton. That person's from Edmonton. You guys should talk. Maybe you know the same people. I rightly or wrongly.
What an icebreaker.
Yeah.
Like, have you met Ted?
Yeah. you know, like, oh, you play dodgeball, but if they're in the dodgeball league, they probably already know each
yeah.
other. But, you know, so, something like that, I do feel some sense of responsibility to, like, have people connect. And, you know, maybe they get along, maybe they don't. I have been on the receiving end where they're like, oh, you're gay. Oh, that person's gay, too. I was like, oh,
you're
God,
bound to get along.
You know, in my case, though, we did end up becoming friends. So, but it was because he's a very nice person. Yeah.
Not that was just lucky.
Yeah, I was very lucky.
I feel like you knew that even when you're not hosting, but that's just like your personality. I'm not sure what's going to happen with Sanjay. I really wish for him to learn to listen a little bit better to other people and maybe find some activities that he likes, but I'm not sure. Do you have anything? Do you have any wish for Sanjay?
I think it is kind of Sanjay's doing the right things. It's probably just going to take a little longer given that maybe he's not looking for any like sexual relationship. Mm-hmm. He's already in a relationship with someone. I mean, he's putting himself out there, and sometimes he goes to non-queer spaces. He goes to the
yeah.
the soccer games. My wish for Sanjay is just like keep doing, like keep
yeah.
trying.
Yeah.
You're doing right. I mean, he joined this group.
This group.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's also like other things that Sanjay could do. Like you could get a coach to like someone to like
idea.
Help
yeah.
you practice those social skills and
yeah.
like to. You know, point out some things that they may be doing wrong, you know.
Because we probably all imagine him relatively different, but like I imagine him as quite socially awkward. yeah, so maybe you yeah. did not. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you, there were some stories.
Yeah.
Whereas I guess maybe I just assumed he was more on the like reserved side. Like studying and then would like
oh, yeah no
try
that's not how no. I imagine him in my head. He's kind of like quite loud and quite awkward.
Mm.
Yeah.
You know what you should do? You should create like a personality test.
Yeah.
And then be like which character are you? Yes.
Which character?
Oh my God.
And then like I don't know.
I love that.
We'll see. We'll be the first people. which character did you see yourself relate to the most?
I love the idea of the personality test for the characters, but also like which type of loneliness are you?
Oh, which gas tank is empty?
Gas tank are you?
Oh my God. Which gas tank? That's so good.
So which I mean, I don't know about the personality test, but which character are you?
I don't know. I truly don't know. I think fair. I see myself in all of them in varying degrees. Mm-hmm. I think Kenneth kind of resonated with me.
Because of the weed? That's what you said.
Wow.
But no, you're not wrong.
That's what you said in the intro. That's why I remember that.
But yeah. I mean, there was also like a phase in my life where like I was in a relationship with someone who we were both stoners and we just became very comfortable in this like stay at home lifestyle, and one of the like points of contention in our relationship, I think, was the fact that like I really wanted to go out more and like do more things and be more social, and but they were quite agoraphobic. And so yeah, that did not fully work out.
Yeah. I mean, in terms of working on your social skills, like we talked about this, but social skills are a muscle, and the less you use it, like the more awkward it is. And I remember towards the end of the pandemic, like maybe summer 2021, or like when we were able to like go out again, I would go out and I would socialize for like an hour and a half, and I would be exhausted. And I would think of myself like, how did I used to go to work all day and then like grab dinner on the go see my friends, or like go do this activity and then like hang out for a beer and like go to bed at midnight and like do it again the next day. I could not think about that. Whereas now that I've been more and more social, I actually could see myself doing that again. But right after 2 years with seeing almost no one and just like hanging out in a park at a distance for an hour and a half, I could not possibly imagine. Yeah, so you have to practice.
Yeah, is a muscle.
Yeah. Which character are you?
I'm Ari. It's not just the fact that
head you look like him too.
In my mind, I was. It's not just the fact that they're South Asian. We're like from the suburbs and then moved to the city. Though there's a lot to relate to there, but I think. I saw, you know, there was a particular, especially in one of the earlier chapters, we were talking about choosing the right activity, where he forced himself to go out, even though he didn't want to, just to solve loneliness, and then he just felt worse. And I've done that before, where I was like, if I don't go out, they're not going to invite me out again, and I'm much better at boundaries now, and just, you know, not being like, all right, like... I don't want to go out, and we're still going to be friends.
That was Nick, though.
Oh, that was Nick? Nah. Oh, okay. Still, I mean, maybe that's Nick, maybe I'm a Nick Ari cusp. Yeah. I feel that. And then this is definitely Ari. I hope I'm remembering correctly, but he has seen some of his friends he grew up in high school.
Yeah, yes. That is Ari.
That, you know, are... they're heterosexual, and they're like on a different life journey, and they meet up without him, they're having kids, and he has to like really make an effort to go see them, or he just doesn't hang out with them. And you know, and this kind of relates to that chapter on the queer life journey, like it's so different, and we're kind of forging our own path that's not written. So, you know, I'm kind of in that phase, and a lot of my friends are getting married at this point and having kids, and it's great. They like, we still find time to hang out, but you know, their priorities are different, and I don't hold grudges against that. They're different there, but it's, you know, I'm seeing kind of friendships that I've had since high school and stuff slowly fade away. And it's harder to like continue like really kind of getting the same, quality of time together we used to.
Well, I keep thinking of the story of this friend who I'm sure she's amazing, but she saw you and she did like baby talk because she had spent like 3 days alone with her kid, and like, of course you won't have the same connection. And one thing that Ari says is that He's like, my straight friends who are back in the suburbs have no tools to understand what it's like to be a single gay man. Like, they have no tool to understand that. It's like a complicated world. It's a world that's outside the reality of what these people live. And even if they were single, they would not be like a gay single man living in the city. They would be like single women. And it's just like so completely different. And I think we don't give a lot of space for that reality, that we live in a different community. We live in a different world and we need to acknowledge it. And it was just Christmas. And you talked about this, like when we see our family, how we need to sort of like modify the way we talk about our weekends and the way we talk about our lives. Otherwise, it's almost like we speak a different language sometimes.
Right. Yeah. My parents are like, what? You're a puppy?
Did you talk about this with your parents?
No.
I want to be part of that joke.
I do not for that very reason.
Okay, number five is give people and things a second chance, but also don't beat a dead horse. So it's all about that balance. The character for that is Greg, who I think is really like black and white, yes or no. And so like learning to give people a second chance would be good for him. I hear that so much. Like people are like, oh, I'm feeling really lonely. It was like, oh, have you tried that? No, I don't like that. Like, oh, I tried it once and it didn't work for me. And I'm like, okay, like, could we be a little bit more flexible? What did you like about it? But also, there is a thing where I was like, yeah, but I, like, really don't like this. Then don't force yourself to do something you don't like. Mm-hmm. And so where is that balance? And it's sometimes tough, even in one-on-one work, when I work on loneliness, to find things that people like. Like, some gay men hate sport. And they don't want to do sport. And I'm like, have you tried joining a choir? And they're like, yeah, I don't sing either. And I'm like, well, could you like create a book club for yourself? Like, it's not that easy to start a book club. So yeah, it's not always, there's not always like a perfect solution. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like the horse analogy, to like go back to unicorns and horses. You know, like don't keep riding a horse that's problematic. Like, but also,
don't like, ride a dead horse.
Yeah, yeah. Don't. Oh, that's so much better than what I said. Don't ride a dead horse. And you know, if the horse is like not gonna get up, then you've tried multiple.
Get off.
Get off and walk to another horse. I'm really losing the analogy here. But like, you know, the stable is big. There's more horses. I don't know. Try a different horse. Try a pony. I don't know. But yeah, like, that makes sense. It's hard. I mean, this piece of advice is, it's so situational. It depends on the person. It depends what you're doing. You know, I wish I could say that I have a formula for when I've tried. So I've tried plenty of things once and I'm like, I know that's not for me. Mm-hmm. And really, changes can be made and I still really don't want to like be part of it. There's other things where I've waited years and then tried it and I'm like, oh, okay, I've tried it now. And I appreciate it now.
Yeah.
But I don't have a concrete piece of advice here, but like try, but obviously you know yourself the best. If it's not going to work, move on.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I like that idea of like, introducing a bit of nuance in how you decide to do things, you know, like not being so black and white about things. If you tried something and it was like not quite the experience you're hoping for, it could just be that, you know, either like maybe you went by yourself and it could have been better if you had someone to go there with, like someone more experienced. So yeah, thinking about the ways that you can like modulate or modify your experience to make it better and more tolerable or enjoyable. But yeah, also like Dale mentioned, like if it's not for you, then it's not for you.
Yeah.
Just
knowing those boundaries within yourself, and being mindful of those is really important.
Yeah, I think giving a second chance to people is also important. I've heard, for example, like, oh, I tried dodgeball and I really hated it. And then when I ask more questions, it's like, oh, there was like this core group of people who already knew each other, who were all super loud, and I really didn't like them. And I get it, like the dodgeball, the running clubs, the volleyball, they can be really cliquey. And then some of the people who have known each other for 8 years, they're not going to be good at all at integrating a new person in their group. Especially, I keep running back to that, but especially if they're not interested in having sex with this new person. And then if they are interested in having sex, then some people, when they flirt, they're like awkward, loud, disrespectful. You know, there's all of these things. So could you try dodgeball and maybe like, okay, that large group of people, I don't like them, but are there other people on the side who are quieter, who have different interests that I could like try and talk to? And how can I appreciate dodgeball without getting involved with that sort of like core group of people that I don't want to talk to? And that's the clicky thing is so true in Toronto and probably everywhere, but in those sport leagues that like when you arrive for the first time and they're like these core group of friends, I've experienced it with the bike rally, the bike ride to Toronto from Toronto to Montreal. And it's like an amazing event. But some people on the rally have been doing it for 15 years. And so they're much more interested in going and see those friends that they see once a year for the rally than like talking with me. So it took a while to be like, who in the bike rally is my crowd and who's not my crowd? And how do I make friends with that? So sometimes giving it a second chance is really useful. And on the bike rally, you don't have a choice to give it a second chance because you're stuck there and you're biking for 6 days, right? So yeah,
right. Fair. That is commitment.
Yeah. 600 kilometers worth of commitment.
And for Greg, it's like giving a second chance to the people he goes on date with as well, where he goes for coffee date and within 3 minutes he's like, no, I'm not interested, and yes, I'm interested. And in my head with Greg, it's mostly like, do I find this person attractive or not? And that's where he stops. Although I haven't never said that in so many words in the book, that's kind of the personality that I think he has. And for Greg, it's even more so like, oh, is this like a muscular white man or not?
Right. Yeah. Expand your horizons, Greg.
Yeah, right? Come on, Greg. Is that what you wish for Greg
out of the group? Yeah. No, absolutely. I think Greg might find that he might feel less lonely, I think, if he didn't see people specifically always within like a sexual lens. Yeah. And if even the people he does see through a sexual lens, like if he like learned to question like why he's attracted to, you know, thin, muscular white men. Like, you know, there are reasons for that.
Yeah.
And there are ways to try to combat that and, you know, be a little more open.
Yeah. Yeah, in my head, Greg is the person who goes to dodgeball or hockey and just sort of, like, disregard everyone who's not, like, potentially sexually attractive enough for him. And the reality, Greg, is that if you find someone sexually attractive, there's a good chance that a ton of people are also finding this person sexually attractive. And so this person is probably receiving a ton of social solicitment. I'm not sure if that's a word.
Solicitation.
Solicitation.
Yeah.
And they will have less time for you. Like, it's really sort of like harsh to think about life this way, but this is a reality that if you're only attracted to like this 5% of the population, a lot of people will be, and you will be like fighting constantly for their attention. And that's probably why it's so hard to date.
Yeah.
For Greg.
It's a lot of competition.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
What do you want for Greg?
Oh, I I want Greg, I want you to do the work. You do the work on yourself. This could be an exercise for everyone. I mean, just sort of like challenging kind of your beliefs, challenging like your attractions, things like that. Or, you know, are they based off stereotypes? Are they based off old, you know, beliefs, those kinds of things? So it's just a good exercise for everyone. So I hope Greg does the work.
Do the work, Greg.
Maybe he doesn't, maybe, you know, he doesn't end up finding many romantic partners, but maybe he finds some like beautiful friendships. Mm-hmm. Those are also, I hope he finds some really like meaningful friendships. Or maybe he finds attractive men, but they're meaningful friendships.
Yeah.
And there's nothing romantic. Like, you know, queer men, we talk a lot about romantic relationships. We talk a lot about dating. That's like one of the favorite topics, social gatherings. But also, like, I think it's so meaningful to also like get queer friends. I think that's something I think is like when I came out, I wish I had tried to explore more friendships first.
Yeah.
Before I started dating, because personally for myself, I don't think I was ready to necessarily explore romantic relationships in a queer sense, but friendships like have been really meaningful for me.
Yeah. And you get so many social skills.
Yeah.
Because like Greg could also be someone who benefit from number four, working on social skills.
Yeah.
And by having friendships, you really like gain a ton of social skills. You know how to not disappoint friends, how to interact, how to, you know, not be flaky and all of that. And that's for me. But if I go to a party, normally the person that I find the most attractive is not the person who's like aloof in the corner, even if they're like white and super muscular. It's the person that I see like laughing with their friends and having a good time, and so like generally being comfortable in their skin and all of that. So Greg, make some friends. Stop looking at the world through the lens of sexual relationships and partnership.
Mm-hmm. There's more.
Yeah. Okay, this is where I decided to stop the podcast for now. I thought that maybe we could fit everything in one episode, but we talked for like 2 hours or more, so I decided to do it in two parts. I hope you did enjoy part one and that you will join me in 2 weeks for part two, and we'll discuss the other 5 tips to combat loneliness. In the meantime, please leave a review or a 5-star or a thumbs up if you're listening to the video, and please talk about mental health to everyone as much as you can, and stay safe.